This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio. From the studios of West Virginia Radio Corporation, the country, the United States of America, the state, West Virginia, the city, Charleston. This is 580 Live, and your host of 580 Live.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
He's kind of a big deal.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Dave Allen.
Hey folks, good Wednesday morning to you. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston WCHS from the Parmar Store Studio. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Caitlin Murphy is serving as our producer today. Happy Wednesday to you. I don't like to talk about the weather a lot, but it is somewhat hot and sticky, but it's going to get pretty nice for the weekend, they tell us. Coming up a little bit later on, no Mike Pushkin this week, and I'm going to discuss that a little bit later on, but I do have Mike Plant, a Democratic strategist, who is going to join us momentarily. Also, momentarily, we're going to be joined by Jeff Jenkins from the newsroom. Big day in court news in Kanawha County yesterday, and Jeff is going to join us to talk about that here momentarily. And your calls and texts, too. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. Jeff, welcome. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for subbing for me a couple days last week, too.
Well,
it was a step up, definitely, when you do the show. You and I don't know about Coop, but when you do the show, it's a step up, I'll say.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, it was. We had a good time. Had a couple good guests.
Well, somebody gets to do it next week, because I'm going to be gone 2 days next week. I'm traveling, some business stuff, but so you and Coop can work that out.
I'm hearing Coop.
It'll be next Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be away from the microphone. Jeff, let's get serious for a moment. Story posted at WVMetroNews.com. Jury selection will begin tomorrow in the Joshua Phillips case. He, of course, the guy accused of the death of Charleston police officer Cassie Johnson in December 2020. Take the story from there, sir, where we are.
Yeah, I had a big pretrial hearing yesterday, in-person hearing with Judge Bailey. So we were down in the car. I was down in the courtroom yesterday along with several other reporters. And Judge Bailey is just now starting to go back to in-person. She's done a lot of hearings over the last couple of years on Teams video. Mm-hmm. And so but this was a in-person hearing, and so one of the big things is the change of venue request that continues to be renewed by Phillips's attorneys. They want the trial moved elsewhere, and so for a second time yesterday, Judge Bailey said, "You know what? I'm just going to hold off on that to see how mm-hmm. jury selection goes." So jury selection is going to start tomorrow. They were able. The original trial was in March, this past March, but not enough people showed up for like a regular jury selection. They mm-hmm. needed, I think, 70 or so, and not enough.
That's incredible to me, the way that this has happened.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one showed up.
That story.
Yeah, no one showed up. So Bailey at that time said, you know, okay, we're going to do this again. We're mm-hmm. going to reschedule it for June, and we're going to cast the net a lot wider. So basically what they did was they made in the last several weeks, they've made initial contact with 1,000 people. Now, mm-hmm. just think about that, 1,000 to try to get 14, 12 jurors and two alternates. Because it's a high-profile case, yeah, people know about it. But again, just because you know about a case doesn't mean you formed an opinion on the case.
Right, yeah.
So then from that, they started to whittle down with some jury surveys, you know, how many people. So they basically ended up, after the judges excused a bunch of people for vacation and different things, they've ended up with 110. So they've mm-hmm. got 110 people that they're going to start with. Tomorrow, they're going to call 30 in the morning, 30 in the afternoon, 30 more Friday in the morning, 30 more in the afternoon. So it's about 120, but it's about 110 is what they have. And they're going to try to get 14 out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we'll know. So the judge basically said, listen, I'm not going to rule on this change of venue request until I see how this goes.
Right.
So I think if they struggle tomorrow and Friday to find enough jurors, then I think the judge will give serious consideration to moving the case.
To a change of venue.
Yeah.
Are his attorneys, Jeff, really trying to say self-defense here?
That's what they've indicated. In fact, John Sullivan, one of his defense attorneys, he's represented by John Sullivan and Ronnie Sheets. Phillips himself said a couple of months ago, going into a hearing, I think Leslie Rubin asked him what, you know, he said it's going to be self-defense. Well, yesterday, John Sullivan told the judge, this is a self-defense case. Mm-hmm. So that's what they'll present their case. And I think what they'll do, and we'll see once we get to opening statements. If we get to those Monday, we might, as early as next Monday, we might have opening statements. I think we'll see some evidence of he was frightened. Mm-hmm. He got into this confrontation, this scuffle with Cassie Johnson on Garrison Avenue, and he was frightened. He feared for his life. I think we'll hear some of that. And then I think there might be some evidence prior to his, his maybe previous contact with police or something mm-hmm. that put him in fear, or maybe
like a PTSD type deal.
Well, I don't know how far they're going to go with
okay.
this.
Okay.
I mean, we
okay.
got it. They haven't revealed everything.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, kind of said that. So first and foremost, I think is the jury. I mean, he shot Cassie Johnson. I mean, that's not up for debate. That's mm-hmm. not up for debate. Now, is it murder? Mm-hmm. That'll be what the jury will be asked to decide in this case. He was shot. She was shot.
Right.
During the altercation. So, and there was also kind of an interesting thing that was argued yesterday that the judge did not rule on either. She'll rule at some point that the defense wants to show some body cam video of Phillips's actual arrest. Remember, he fled the scene afterward, and they I think it was at his residence on up Garrison Avenue. They got it. They mm-hmm. arrested him. And so I think there was, according to some testimony yesterday, or at least what his attorney said, he was kicked several times during the arrest by Charleston police officers. And I think they want to show that. They want to show how he was injured, because he stayed in the hospital a couple of days, not yeah. only from the gunshot wounds, but from some other injuries.
Right.
And they want to show that. And the judge said, well, I'm not going to rule on that yet. So she's kind of taken that under advisement.
She got a lot to think about.
Yeah,
to
see if that video will be allowed. And they say, hey, you should allow it because it goes to why he was in the hospital. So we'll see if the judge allows them to make that connection.
Interesting, and I didn't really open this up to text, but it is an interesting text. I want to kind of get your opinion on this, that somebody's texting to the Fruith Pharmacy text line. Do we know who got shot first in that particular situation, or is that something that will come out during the trial?
I think some of that will come out during the trial. I don't know. It may have been said in previous hearings.
Yeah, I can't recall. I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure it'll come out in the trial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, while I have you here, real quick, Jeff, I know you're busy, the Nancy Boggs case.
Yeah.
Former Holes Elementary teacher yesterday pled guilty to 10 misdemeanor counts of battery in Kanawha Circuit Court. What's the story there?
Well, that was the Holes Elementary School teacher that was charged last year after a video was reviewed of her special education classroom. And I think she was originally charged with about two dozen battery counts on students, just her treatment of students that the video showed of really just kind of one day
right.
period of some kids that were nonverbal and different things. And so she did plead yesterday, pled it down to 10 counts of battery. And so those are misdemeanors. And now, of course, the law has been changed in that in this last legislative session, mm-hmm. those are going to be more serious charges of abuse in classrooms. And also video will be able to be more closely monitored, really born out of this incident. But she pled guilty to 10 counts. She read from, what she did in each one of those counts. Didn't give a lot of details, but said, yeah, I grabbed this kid. She gave the initials. Mm-hmm. I pushed this child, those type of things. Mm-hmm. So Judge Akers, Mary Claire Akers, she'll decide at sentencing on these things. Now, there's 1 year each for these, maximum. So the judge will decide if, what she gets up to a year. She could sentence her up to a year. She could run them concurrently. She could run them consecutively, which means 10 back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Or if she does that, maybe she could be out in 5 years. She could run them concurrently. I don't know what she'll do, but she could do that and just say, okay, we'll just run them all at the same time. which might be unlikely. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what the judge does. And the sentencing is coming up. It'll be later this year.
Busy day in the court system yesterday.
It was. Very
great
much.
Stories at WVMetroNews.com and on the air. Jeff, you and Carrie, Chris, and Jake, and the whole entire team just do a fantastic job. We appreciate you stopping and updating this morning.
It.
Thanks
All
a
right,
lot, man.
Thanks.
We'll take a break. 580 Live is brought to you in part by the Thornhill Auto Group. It's time to ditch that old truck and trade up to a brand new Ram from Thornhill CDJR. Make the switch for more power and towing capabilities plus technology and fuel economy. The Ram Make the Switch event happening now at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall to Logan. Visit him online at thornhillcdjr.com. Democratic strategist Mike Plant is here and your phone calls and texts. We're back after this from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live brought to you by the Thornhill Auto Group on the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
The brand new Generations Physical Therapy for Nitro and Cross Lanes is now open.
Get your appointment at generationspt.com.
Activating summer mode.
It's time to ditch that old truck and trade up to a brand new Ram truck from Thornhill CDJR. The Ram Make the Switch event is on now, and Thornhill CDJR is here to get you summer ready for whatever fun activity you've got to haul. Make the switch for more power and towing capabilities, technology and fuel economy. Plus, Thornhill has the monster thrills you're looking for with loaded custom lift options. It's Sydney here on the Thornhill Motor Mile, inviting you to our Ram Make the Switch event happening at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall, Logan, next to Tractor Supply, or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
If you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, then check out RX Vitel on Charleston's west side. Of course, they'll fill your prescriptions the old-fashioned way, but they also have RX Bipack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple daily doses, perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions, eliminating possibilities for serious errors. No longer will you need to spend hours every week filling your pill minder. RX Vitel does that for free with RX Bipack. Visit RX Vitel on the west side today. They're your neighborhood pharmacy.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe, affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage. 866-GIVE-CAR. Car.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Presented by RX Vitel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bipack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at RxVitel.com.
921, 580 Live brought to you by Hussons. The June special of the month at Hussons is a large pepperoni pizza and cheese sticks, only $19.99. To order online, for takeout, or delivery, to find the nearest Hussons Pizza location, do you go to HussonsPizza.com. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. 580 Live is on the air. Caitlin Murphy, our producer today. Before we get into the show this morning, I did need to discuss something with you. And sometimes I feel like a parent telling the kid, we need to have a little talk. We need to talk about something. But yesterday I had mentioned on the promo for today's show, the delegate Mike Pushkin would be with us today. Now, as you know, the good delegate has opposition in the November general election. We left him on during the primary as my guest every Wednesday, or nearly every Wednesday. I take a couple of days off because of the session, legislative session, because he didn't have opposition. We did make the decision to ask Mayor Amy Goodwin to step away from the Mayor Monday segment for a while because she did have opposition in the primary. Well, the plan moving forward was to return Mayor Goodwin to Mondays and have Delegate Pushkin on Wednesdays until 60 days prior to the fall election. And you know, in the interest of fairness to their opponents. Well, people throw around this term equal time all the time, and they really don't have any idea what it actually means, or they don't understand the law and so on and so forth. But one way or the other, a decision was made higher up the chain from me to ask Delegate Pushkin to step away on Wednesdays from the microphone until after the election in November. And I talked to Mike yesterday. Mike and I are actually friends, and I called Mike and talked to him, and he understood the decision completely. So barring anything in his delegate role, Delegate Pushkin will not be joining us on Wednesdays until after the election. The same decision with Mayor Monday, with Mayor Goodwin. She will not be on the air with us on Mondays. Now, I will say this because I feel it's a very valuable segment to have with someone from the city coming on, answer questions and things of that nature. I have extended the invitation to people from the city to come on each Mondays. We've had Chief of Staff Matt Sutton. We've had the Brent Webster, the City Works Director. We've had the Police Chief Ty Cunningham from time to time. So I would be interested in maybe having them come on the show on Monday too, because I feel it is a very valuable segment. And you can say, people can say that they may not agree with Mayor Goodwin or whoever the mayor is for that matter, but it does take some guts to come in here every week and sit down behind the microphone and listen to complaints and not knowing what calls are coming in. I don't screen the calls. I mean, Caitlin puts them on the air, but she doesn't screen the content, and we don't screen the text. I will give her credit for that. But that's where we are going forward. Just wanted to kind of get, in case you're wondering, that's just where we are right now. But he is no Mike Pushkin, and he'll tell you that. He maybe even be much better than Mike Pushkin. Mike Plant is with us, Democratic strategist extraordinaire. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm fine. It's good to be here and trying to fill the substantial shoes of Mike Pushkin. No one could really do it, but I'll give it a try.
Well, we'll do the best we can to get you in there. I got a lot of different things I wanted to get into you to talk to you about it again. Mike Plant is always open, as Pushkin was, to take phone calls. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy Text, 304-935-5008. Before we get in, I know there were some things that you came to the table with that you wanted to talk about. The election was held. Have you been on since the primary election with me? I don't think you have you?
I have not.
You have not been on with me since the primary election. Okay. Any thoughts coming out of the election on your end as far as, I mean, I know there wasn't, most of the buzz seemed to be on the Republican side, you know, with the McKinley-Mooney race being the probably top of mind for a lot of people, a couple other House races here and there, but your thoughts on your side on some of the battles, or were there battles to even talk about?
Well, that's there weren't a lot on our side. We don't have the same issue that our friends on the other side of the aisle who have a lot of contested primaries, and so we didn't have the same level of primary opposition to candidates. But we had municipal races here. We had city council races. Mayor Goodwin handily won renomination to go on to the fall campaign, I think there weren't a lot of surprises on the Democratic side that I can think of offhand.
Did you happen to switch in gears here for a moment? Before we switch gears, let's talk about your go into your crystal ball. And again, it's just June now, but what do you see happening come November general election time? Are you guys just ready to throw in the towel and say the Democratic Party's done in West Virginia? Because you know it is, Mike.
Absolutely not.
I said that tongue in cheek, but go ahead.
Yeah, you have nowhere to go but up.
That's a good way to look at it. Go ahead.
The fall elections are going to be interesting for several different reasons. One is it's going to be a very low turnout election. We don't have a contested Senate race. We don't have a Senate race. We don't have a governor's race. We don't have a big race at the top of the ballot to bring people out. It's not a presidential year, as we saw it in the primary elections. I think it was a very low primary turnout, which is what you expect.
22-23% somewhere in that general vicinity, I think it was, something like that.
Yeah, I think it may be just a tad lower, but okay. At any rate, it was an extremely low turnout. So low turnout elections, a lot can happen. The other thing that we have for the first time is we have these 100 single member districts replacing the previous system where you had multi-member districts in the House and Senate, or in the House primarily. But so that offers an opportunity for candidates to really sort of upset the crystal ball, because these districts, these House districts, are small enough where a candidate who's willing to work hard and walk precincts and knock on doors can introduce themselves to a lot of people and overcome the normal D versus R bias or vice versa, mm-hmm. because just nothing substitutes for personal contact usually with candidates. So that presents a lot of opportunity. And, you know, the Republicans have been part of their problem in drawing these districts is they had to draw some districts just because of the way the geography is and where their incumbents live. They had to draw contested Republican seats for their own candidates. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity here. I think you're going to see I think you'll see Democrats pick up. Traditionally, Democrats have done better in off-year elections in the last several election cycles, non-presidential year. So I think it's a wild card because we have new districts, but I think you'll see Democrats pick up seats in the legislature.
You really believe that?
I really believe
it. Well, if you didn't believe it, you wouldn't have said it, right? The numbers don't lie, though, Mike. People are leaving the Democratic Party in droves in West Virginia. Now, that may not necessarily be leaving to become Republicans, because both parties have issues with people leaving their respective parties to become independents. But again, the numbers look, on the surface, you study them a lot more than I do, pretty bad for the Democrats. What do you say, Mike, to those who have left the Democratic Party because they feel that they don't have a voice on their views? It seems, in talking to some Democrats and some that have texted and called the show, Mike, that the most conservative views of the old line Democratic Party don't necessarily have a voice in the new Democratic Party. And no matter what the race is, right or wrong, and I've used the example, I said you could be running for Wetzel County Assessor, nothing against the fine people of Wetzel County, but I'm just using that as an example, and they will say a vote for John Smith for Wetzel County Assessor is a vote for Pelosi, Schumer, AOC, et cetera, as ridiculous as that is. But how do you overcome that?
Well, you overcome it by talking about and grounding yourself in your values, and in a practical terms, you've got to push back against the notion that what Republicans have created around the idea of the national Democratic brand, and they've been done a good job at that for red states and purple states, but the values of the party, whether on education, on healthcare, on inclusion, on worker safety, on water, protecting our water. I mean, these are all things. These are all pocketbook issues and issues that hit us where we live. And those are the things that people need to be talking about and not let themselves get distracted by being tagged being a Schumer clone. You know, I've seen the same thing happen with Mitch McConnell and other Republicans who, because they had one disagreement with President Trump, they get tagged as being rhinos, and they get be tagged as being part of the swamp. Mm-hmm. And their whole career, you know, Mike Pence up until January 6th was the epitome of a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm.
Even more to the right than Trump.
Even more to the right than Trump on many things. But he is now persona non grata amongst the Trumpophiles. So the tactic works. You just have to fight back against it. Whether you're on, don't let them define you. You have to define yourself.
And that's something that when I've had Pushkin on the show, Pushkin's talked about, you know, having people tell your story that maybe the Democrats haven't done as good a job with messaging and saying, hey, that's not necessarily us. We may agree with certain aspects of it, but that's not necessarily us.
Yeah. You know, if you're playing, you know, the old maxim about the best defense is good offense holds true here in politics, just as it does in sports. And, you need to define yourself before your opponent defines you. And that involves getting out early. And it, again, in these, especially in these House of Delegates races, you know, for candidates that are willing to walk and willing to talk one-on-one with people, there's no better substitute for one-on-one in almost every instance. I did work for a candidate running for Congress out in Kansas one time who shall remain nameless, but he was not a personable fellow. And he insisted, and he also had an irritating voice, but he insisted on doing his own commercials, or being voiced in his own commercials, as opposed to using an announcer, and opposed to letting the story be told about his values. And once we went up with those spots, his poll number started to plummet, because the more people knew about him, the less they liked him.
That can happen within your own party and in your own house sometimes as well. We got 27 minutes away from 10. Democratic strategist Mike Plant is here. Sears Mighty Ben Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text, 304-935-5008. 580 Live brought to you by RX Vitel on the west side. Ask about the RX BiPack. That's a pre-filled pouch system which divides your prescription doses perfectly as prescribed by your doctor. RX Vitel on the west side, they are your neighborhood pharmacy. Text says West Virginia Democrats are leaving their party because of the party's extremist views. For example, Denise Jardinia, I think I pronounced that right, is it Gardinia? Denise, you know, wrote an op-ed in the Gazette, says the texter, over the weekend, says that it's okay to kill a child as long as the umbilical cord is attached. This is extremist and barbaric, not to mention this party thinks men can get pregnant. Come on. Come on, Mike.
Well, it's the irony. I didn't know Denise Jardinia spoke for the Democratic Party, especially since she left the Democratic Party 22 years ago to form the Mountain Party.
You're right about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
So, and it's I find it ironic to be lectured about science from and I don't know this obviously what this person's wider stance is, but the sudden embrace of science among so many of the folks who deny COVID. And deny masking and deny social distancing. So it's, as you said, come on.
That was what the texter said, not me. That was the texter that said that.
Sorry.
Text said, would love to see Tony Hodge host a show while you're on vacation. An interesting guy. That's probably from Tony Hodge. But I'm not, no, I don't know.
For all you conservatives out there that want to own the libs, especially, you know, Mike Pushkin, who draws a lot of flack, you need to tune in to WCHS radio today. Call your friends. Let's show a big spike in the ratings so that, you know, after the general's over, maybe they won't have him back, and they'll just leave me here. So just phone in, text in, you know, vote with your feet.
Well, we'll leave that alone. Texas, Texas, thanks for modeling how to be friends with people with different political positions from your own, Dave. We need more of that. We're all neighbors with mostly the same interests and fewer differences than most media would like us to believe. Keep up the good work. That's according to a texter.
Yeah, for a brief time, I worked for former Speaker Rick Thompson down at the House of Delegates. He's just a super guy. And you know, the one thing, I'm a partisan D, obviously, and made my living in Democratic politics. But I will say, you know, in my brief time down there, one, it was an honor to be there. It's a rare, rare club. But the thing that it does when you work close to people of different stripes like that, in an intense period of time in the 60-day session is, I was impressed by like Tim Armstead, who I disagree with politically on so many things, but a good, decent guy. And even Carol Miller, who is shifted farther and farther to the right as her career has progressed, but she was always someone focused on constituent services. And you know, you got to see people in a different light. So it's hard to demonize folks that you socialize around or with. It's hard to just paint them as with one solid brush. It doesn't mean I don't profoundly disagree with them on policy and politics, but you can see that they're not. They want the best for West Virginia. Sincerely want the best for West Virginia. We just disagree about how to go about it.
The path there is the devil lies in the details, so to speak, and that's what it is. But there's far more, in talking to my friends in the legislature, Mike, there are far more things they work together on than they're apart on. But again, it's what makes especially in the world now that we have social media, which don't get me started on that, it becomes a totally different animal now. It's like, you can't, what do you mean you're friends with so-and-so? Well, he or she's a decent person. You know, we like you said, we may disagree, but we'll still go out and have a beer afterwards. You know what I mean? It's just what it is.
I forget who it was, but it was a journalist or a political scientist, but they observed that when we in an earlier time in Congress, when Congress people stayed in Washington rather than come home for every break, every weekend, mm-hmm. that there was less partisanship because people socialized together. They did things together. They were part of a community. And, you know, we have a never-ending campaign now. Once you, especially in the House of Representatives,
yeah, which every 2 years.
Once you, know.
At least in the legislature.
Yeah, the re-election campaigns that starts the day after mm-hmm. you win, raising money and everything else. So they're really, I think the more opportunity there is to work with folks. I think the more willingness there is to for people on both sides to try to compromise and find solutions. But it's when we get these extremes in the party, and I think that redistricting does not serve us well in the current day and age, because we redistrict for incumbent protection, and Democrats do it in blue states, and Republicans do it in red states. But it doesn't serve us well because you get the Marjorie Taylor Greens when you district when you draw lines that where the whole election is in the primary. You get those kind of candidates who never have to fear being losing a general election because their district is drawn with incumbent protection in mind. So once somebody like that wins, they're in, you know, pretty much for as long as they want to be. And those are folks who don't want to reach across the aisle and work with anybody.
21 minutes away from 10, let's go to the phones. Bill, you're on with Mike Plant. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for you about the recent primary in West Virginia. There was a Republican candidate for state senate mm-hmm. who was removed from the ballot because she failed to meet the constitutional requirements for the office.
Yes, sir.
My question is, in the process of filing to run for the office, did she in any place swear or affirm that she met the requirements? And if so, is that a legal issue?
You sign a certificate that as best I understand it, and I did work at one point for the Secretary of State's office, but my role was not necessarily on that end; it was on another end of the office. You sign a form basically saying that, because I know I've run for office before, and you sign a form saying that you swear and or ascertain or whatever the legalese is that you are qualified for that office. I believe that is the case. Mike, has that been your experience?
I thought the form said that you swear or affirm that you are a registered voter in that.
West Virginia, okay.
Yeah. And so
you could maybe be right.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure. It's a great question. And somebody brought it up the other day, and I meant to look it up and did not, but that's something we should definitely do.
So why do you bring that up, Bill? What are you getting at?
False
well,
swear.
There were a lot of hinky things about her candidacy, and it just seems to me that somewhere in the process, she either knew or should have known that she was not qualified. And if she swore that she was, I mean, I think that's a real issue.
Okay.
Well, our friend Greg Thomas on a previous show alluded to the fact that he had conversations with the Secretary of State's office where they said, I believe it was a, quote, gray area. Mm-hmm. So they at least were aware there could be a potential problem.
But it was a gray area. And I can tell you from having worked there, there are so many gray areas in the law that need to be addressed. And it's not something that the Secretary of State's office can do. That has to come from the legislature. I mean, but by the way, Greg Thomas will be on the show tomorrow. So
Bill, you call in tomorrow.
Call in tomorrow and you can talk to the man one-on-one, because he was one of the people behind the campaign. Hey, Bill, I appreciate your phone call. We got to take a break. We're back right after this from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live on the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses.
Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses care for your family. You are now interacting in summer mode.
Where freedom rings and adventure begins. Welcome to the Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Logan.
Hey, it's Sydney here with your new keys to adventure this summer. We've got all new 22 Jeep models arriving daily. From your favorites like new Grand Cherokee to the exciting all new Wagoneer. With the expanding Jeep lineup, you've got to give one of these a drive. Adventure is waiting on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Shop Jeep Freedom Days at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall Logan next to Tractor Supply.
Or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
Let freedom ring. See Thornhill for all details.
Bids for Bargains is live. Now through June 14th, you can bid and win on amazing offers from local and statewide businesses.
Teeth whitening from Gareeb Dental Group, Tri-County YMCA membership, and St. Albans pool passes.
Just go to wvbargains.com and bid as often as you want on as many items as you want.
Kidder Rules party packages, a Boone County truck driving scholarship, and AeroCare heat pump packages.
More than $400,000 worth of merchandise is available at 50 to 70% savings. Bids for Bargains, live now through June 14th, a WVRC Media promotion.
Hoka Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Hoka Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of our seven convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Hoka, Winfield, Clendenin, Spencer, or Walton, and let us become your community bank. Visit us online at PocaValleyBank.com to learn more about our personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
It's a cheese lover's delight at IHOP with the new extra cheesy omelets. These new omelets are loaded with up to three different types of cheese and all of your other favorite ingredients, from bacon to hash browns. Also new are IHOP Splashers. Wildberry Lemonade, Mango Lemonade, and Blue Raspberry Lemonade Splashers are sure to brighten your day with each drink having a unique flair and fresh flavor. Head online and save 20% on your first online order with code IHOP20. Where the shortest distance between two people is a smile, IHOP.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's West Side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
60 minutes away from 10. This Friday, we'll be doing another 580 Live Taylor Books Adopt Me Please Pet of the Week, sponsored by Taylor Books. Taylor Books with thousands of books for all ages, plus fine art, craft gallery, cafe, live music every Friday and Saturday, too. For more information, stop by and see them, 226 Capitol Street in downtown Charleston. Mike Plant is with us this morning. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Fruit Pharmacy text 304-935-5008. Text says, I complain about Mr. Pushkin a lot, but I applaud fairness in candidates and appreciate this action and willingness to work with people from all sides. Actions speak louder than words, according to a texter. Texter says, does Mr. Plant have any leads on a new line of work? Because being a Democratic strategist can't be paying the bills nowadays.
Ooh, what a burn.
So what are you going to be doing?
I've always wanted to drive the big rigs, see America.
There's a need for truck drivers. And you're already a pilot, so, I mean, how hard could it be to, learn to drive a truck, right? Right? But, I mean, there are still Democrats running. I mean, we had them on the ballot. We had them on the show during the Meet the Candidates forums. And there are going to be some contested races this coming fall. You keep yourself busy, right?
I try to stay busy, yeah.
Well, you're doing more, I guess, when you're behind because there's more work to do. Is that a fair assessment?
There's always work in the vineyard, yes.
that's what you're
doing. There's no shortage of work in the vineyard.
Mike, did you happen to see the governor's presser yesterday? To say it was strange may be the understatement of the year. Now, this was his first press conference in a while. He'd been sick, as you know, apparently from Lyme disease, which we wish him the best there. It can be a very, very serious issue. He did address the gun crisis in the country. Now, you and I may disagree on this, but I don't think we have as much of a gun crisis as we have a soul crisis and a behavioral crisis. But that's just me. He did suggest, though, that things like bans on semi-automatic weapons won't resolve the problem. I agree with that. But then he kind of went off the rails, even by his standards. He talked about young men and their partaking of profanity and pornography, plus video games. And I'll be the first to admit that social media, which he alluded to, is a major, major problem here. But, pornography and profanity, has he ever been around teenage boys? That's pretty much their entire existence, are those two things. Yeah. I say that in jest, but your thoughts.
Well, everything old is new again. I'm old enough to remember the Mies Commission on pornography and Tipper Gore's war on explicit lyrics on radio with music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that this question has been studied and looked at, and there's no correlation between these things. So I read something just recently, ironically, that maybe it was alluding to the governor's press conference or statements, but I think it was something national. But at any rate, apparently Japan has, if you think our video games and things are rough, Japan apparently is their games are make ours look like a day at the beach. And but yet they don't have the same problems in their society with violence and those kind of things. So
I got called to the carpet yesterday, Mike. I don't know whether you heard the show or not, because I said America's a violent country, and somebody kind of took offense to it, which I appreciate that. I like being called out and things like that. But somebody, I said America is a violent country by nature, founded on violence, and somebody took offense to it. Would you agree, disagree?
I don't know that we're a violent country by nature, but
yeah, we are.
Well,
I think we are. But go ahead.
I want to ask you your opinion, but then I'm just going to show you.
Well, I'm going to tell you what your opinion. I apologize. Go ahead.
It's okay. I don't think we're violent by nature. I mean, there's definitely there's a problem here. Obviously, there's a huge problem here. But we the CDC can't study it. They're prevented from doing that. We're prevented from doing a lot of common sense things, like the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is not permitted to have a searchable database of firearms, so that when police recover something at a crime scene, agents physically have to check box by box, file by file, to find who the ownership of that weapon. If a gun store, which they're required to furnish this to the ATF, if they send in a list of their sales in an Excel spreadsheet, it has to be taken out of the Excel spreadsheet and entered manually, because you can't have, because the NRA lobbied for and successfully won on this issue, to prevent having a searchable database, because that would be in their opinion, that would be a tool to do a gun grab. We don't want to. There was a time when I think the NRA was a more reasonable voice on these issues. You remember before Barack Obama, there's a great, you can Google it, Wayne LaPierre saying that we should close the gun show loophole. Those days are long gone. Their line in the sand is any regulation, if you're on the no fly list, you're not prohibited from buying a gun, or getting access to a gun. Just common sense things like that we can't do, because there's this fear. This prevailing fear that they're coming for our guns, and that has been stoked up and reinforced over and over again, so that at some point you have to have it's our government, we elect our leaders, you have to trust them to do something, if you can't. have reasonable common sense things like this. Where are we at?
Mm-hmm. 9:50, a quick text before we go to break. The whole world has social media. You only see mass shootings like this in war zones and the American suburbs. There is so much I touched on it a little bit yesterday. There is so much misinformation there about gun violence in America, and I think the media plays a big part in that as well. Because I'll blame the media, because I'm part of the media and I'm part of the problem, apparently. But we got to take a break. That's a bigger issue right now. We'll be back right after this from the Parmar Store Studio. It's 580 Live at the Voice of Charleston, WCHS.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses have been creating jobs in West Virginia since 1997.
activating summer mode.
It's time to ditch that old truck and trade up to a brand new Ram truck from Thornhill CDJR. The Ram Make the Switch event is on now, and Thornhill CDJR is here to get you summer ready for whatever fun activity you've got to haul. Make the switch for more power and towing capabilities, technology and fuel economy. Plus, Thornhill has the monster thrills you're looking for with loaded custom lift options. It's Sydney here on the Thornhill Motor Mile, inviting you to our Ram Make the Switch event happening at Thornhill CDJR, Fountain Place Mall, Logan, next to Tractor Supply, or online at thornhillcdjr.com.
In today's busy world, you need a credit card that can keep up with your hectic schedule. That's why you need a Visa credit card from Members Choice West Virginia Federal Credit Union.
You'll get a low 9.9 APR with no annual fee, a 25-day grace period, you choose rewards program, and so much more.
It's time you get more out of every day with a card made for the way you live.
Stop in to 201 Ohio Avenue in Charleston or visit memberschoicewv.com today.
Credit card loans are subject to credit approval. Additional loan fees and restrictions may apply. Advertising of this promotion does not represent loan approval or commitment to lend.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies' Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
7 minutes away from 10, the Charleston Dirty Birds are your professional baseball team and your destination for affordable family fun all summer long. Join the Birds home games for half-price beer and buy one, get one free hot dogs on Tuesdays. Winning scratch-off Wednesdays or during their home games, each fan in attendance can scratch the tickets to win prizes from Steak Escape, Elk City Auto Spa, Piggly Wiggly, Power Alley Grill, and more. $1 beer night on Thursdays. Again, home games, giveaways to the first 1,000 fans on Friday, and Mega Blast fireworks every Saturday. For the full season schedule, promotions, and to get your tickets, go to dirtybirdsbaseball.com. Dirty Birds are your hometown team. Sears Monument Hotline, 304-345-5858. Food Pharmacy Tax, 304-935-5008. Democratic strategist Mike Plant is with us today. Text says, ever notice that guests representing the Democratic Party are just kinder, sweeter, better spoken people than the condescending, holier-than-thou Republican guest? Your Republican guest resort to name-calling and insults against anyone that disagrees with them. They are their own worst enemy. Mike, you are kinder, sweeter, and better spoken and less condescending.
Well, I can't disagree with her. You know. Thanks, Mom.
To all those things. Text says, the NRA and the rest of the gun lobby doesn't want to stop mass shootings. Each one results in a major increase in gun sales and profits. I don't know that to be a fact. Do you? I'm not saying
I think they fear is a great marketing tool. You know, you had gun sales up during the Obama administration because Obama was going to take our guns,
which he never was.
But he did allow us to carry them in national parks. But that was the only legislation I think dealing with guns that Obama addressed. I think it's to the gun lobby's benefit to create they're coming after us narrative. You know, Justice Scalia, no left winger by any stretch of the imagination, who wrote the opinion in the Heller decision that for the first time recognized that the Second Amendment was not tied to membership in a militia. It was hailed as a huge victory for the gun rights proponents. But even in that decision, Justice Scalia wrote that reasonable restrictions on gun ownership are not prohibited by the Constitution. And we recognize that you can't have certain types of explosives. You can't have missiles. You can't 12-year-old can't buy a gun. You know, we have these a felon. You know, we have these. We agree that there's these. That the Constitution, or it has been held that the Constitution does not, that the Second Amendment right is not an absolute right. So what we're talking about is what are reasonable things we can do will never eliminate gun deaths or gun tragedies, but we can reduce those gun deaths and gun tragedies with, I think, common sense legislation that goes after keeping guns out of the hands of people that should not have them.
How's that working out for Chicago?
Well, you don't have a. It would work out better for Chicago. It works out great for other countries who have national laws, mm-hmm. but when there's no border around Chicago prohibiting people from driving 20 minutes out to get another gun. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the majority of the guns, and I say that because kind of playing devil's advocate, but a lot of people point to Chicago and some of the larger cities. It's been proven that the majority of those guns are coming from other places. And like you said, they're driving 20, 30 minutes and they're bringing them in there. But
thank you for making my point.
That's exactly what I was doing. But the hysteria, though, as I talked about Mike on the show yesterday, was less than 2% of all gun deaths come from mass shootings. Less than 2%. Most gun deaths in America are by suicide. The chances of the average person being in a mass shooting or even the victim of a gun crime are almost non-existent. But yet we believe the hype that the media throws out there, and I hate when people use the term the media. That's one of my pet peeves. But that is one of the things that I will agree on is that we are fear sells. You said it. I mean, and we are constantly and it doesn't matter whether it's NBC, CNN, or Fox News. We have this boogeyman out there, and again, that's not to take away from the tragedy that's happened in all these places. Certainly, don't take that from what I just said. But we have this fear of – John Stossel years ago called it a fear of fear. We have this fear of a fear.
Well, John Stossel has said an enormous number of stupid things.
you don't agree with that? We have a fear of fear?
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. You get the last 45 seconds to explain why that's irrational on my part.
Well, just look at the look at what we can't do because of the fear of the government supposedly coming for our guns. Would you not agree that if law enforcement has determined that somebody, because of their activity on that they observed is in touch with terrorist cells and participating in terrorist training, it's probably not a good idea for them to be able to walk into a gun store and buy a gun. You know, somebody with adjudicated with a mental illness probably should not be able to walk into a gun store and buy a gun. I mean, these are common sense things that are prohibited. So, you know, until we're ready to address those things, this problem's not going to get any better.
All right. Well, the problem of
you said I had the last word, and you're taking it away from me.
No. Well, I was going to try to make some smart aleck comment is what it was about the problem of you being on the show, but I'm kidding. Mike, I appreciate you coming in, man. Thanks a lot. It's always a good dialogue when you and I are together. I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up on the show tomorrow, the equally warm and fuzzy Greg Thomas will be here on the show tomorrow. Also, Agriculture Commissioner Kent Leonhardt is here on the show tomorrow as well. Hoppy, the news coming up from my producer, Caitlin Murphy. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, have fun and love somebody.
WCHSAM 96.5 FM Charleston and 104.5 Cross Lanes on WVRC Media Station. We're proud to live here too.